true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Yes, sir.
The stories are true on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, Tom, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Does that include you and me?
That includes us.
Oh, good.
That's everybody until proven guilty in the court of law. Crime may not pay, but it makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and lessons learned. And yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was just a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it, starting with some patrol calls. There is a illegal fire along the shores of Dillon Reservoir, a gathering of people and an illegal campfire was taking place.
Yeah, more mayhem along the shores of Lake Dillon. You know, that's our beautiful reservoir up here where we all recreate.
Yes.
And, you know, it has a special designation around in the Dillon Recreation Area that they're, regardless, right now we have stage one fire restrictions because we're all terrified of wildfires. There's never fires allowed along the Dillon Reservoir. And we get these often, whether there's restrictions or not, where people, usually visitors, sometimes locals, that will find a place along and want to do a little, you know, lakeside fire with their paddle boards or watercraft, as these people did. Luckily, someone here took responsibility of the fire and also took the ticket that went along with it.
Oh, really? How much was that ticket?
You know, I think they're like $100. I mean, it's not. Yeah. It's a sting to some people.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you'd be amazed at how many people try to start fires along the lake.
But it's right along the water. How could it be not safe? It's right there by the water.
Yeah, remember, we have talked about on the podcast before that some of the islands out there used to have camping and everything on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more. No more fires by the lake.
Not at
Please.
All. Please. Unless you're on the designated campground.
Well, yeah, of course, and they're along the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah, and those are managed campgrounds.
Absolutely.
With managed fire rings.
And it's a lot safer there.
And it's a lot safer.
There is a report that deputies received of a collision between a UTV and a dirt bike. What's a UTV? Stumped you. Stumped you.
A utility. So it's one of the, it's one of the two or four seater utility vehicles.
Okay.
You know, kind of like the,
a side by side or a razor.
Side by side razor. Okay. It's a utility vehicle is what it is. The UTV is a utility vehicle.
The OHV.
Over highway.
Off highway vehicle.
Vehicle.
It took me a while to figure that out. What's an OHV? It's like off highway vehicle. Off. Okay. So anyway.
I'm tripping over my acronyms this morning. Like you go, what's UTV? It's like tongue-tied. Like it's
one of those four-wheelers that got into a crash with a motorcycle.
Yeah, utility. You know, the two side-by-side used to be really popular. Now the four, the big razors you see are popular.
Oh, yeah?
Thing about this one is, as it turned out, this was up one of our drainages where four-wheeling is popular.
Yeah.
And this turned out to be an entire family that was camping together. And these are family members that ran into each other. A couple of them were seriously hurt two of them went to the hospital. And out of the people who went to the hospital, some got flown down to Denver for a higher level of care. So, I mean, it was a serious blow. And I remember getting the call from our special operations team saying that, you know, these are bad no matter what. But what made this worse is it was all family members that ran into each other. Obviously at high rates of speed, which they probably shouldn't have been at a high rate of speed.
Probably.
But I guess there won't be anybody suing each other in this case.
No ticketing involved with this at all?
No. I mean, this was truly an accident. Yeah. Colorado State Patrol handled the accident investigation. So, you know, we took care of the people rescuing them out of the scene, and State Patrol took the report.
Well, let's hope they all get better.
Let's hope they all recover. Yes. Yeah.
A suspicious activity report. Late in the evening, there was a local resident noticed a vehicle parked nearby their house and was running, had its lights on for over an hour, and somebody was sleeping inside.
Yeah, you know, this is where people get nervous, where someone like this is found sleeping in their car, engine running, lights running. Usually it's a clear sign of intoxication. Yeah. Deputies did roll up on this, did wake up the person. There was no signs of intoxication. He was exhausted from work. He lived down the street and had parked his car and just decided he'd rest there for a minute. And fell asleep with the radio on and listening to Crystal 93.
Well, of course. Jeez. I'd like to believe they were not putting people to sleep on the radio, but I guess when you're tired, you're tired.
When you're tired, you're tired. You just like to listen to nice music in the background.
So there's no tickets or anything involved
with
this?
No, there was nothing involved in this.
Wake him up and send him on his way.
And send him on his way. Send him home.
One of the more popular activities around the Dillon Reservoir, paragliders. You see them launching off the top of Swan Mountain Road. It's one of the common launch areas. There was a recent paraglider that crashed outside Frisco when his canopy tip clipped the top of a tree.
Yeah, as you said, this is becoming more and more common up here. I remember a time when you didn't see paragliders
right.
Up here.
Yeah.
You see them as you go out, like on the western slope towards Grand Junction, but... Uh-huh. You know, they are really popular here now. You would be probably surprised at how frequent these crashes are. I mean, I remember the first time coming down Highway 9 through Frisco. I know this is a podcast, not television, but a video.
You can visualize
but
it.
You can visualize, but Peak 1 on the opposite side is another huge peak people launch off of. And it looked like it was crashing into the middle school.
Oh, wow.
This is the first time I saw it, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like, oh, my God. And 911, I'm listening to the police radio. Calls are coming out. And it turned out to be a teacher that taught at the middle school. And this was like his form of recreation before school. And he'd land on the field at the middle school. Lo and behold, he was fine. He was just doing his morning cruise. Hike up the mountain, fly down right over highway. So, of course, people freaked out, and you're coming down at a pretty steep incline from the top of Peak 1, which is, 13,000 feet? So these things happen. This guy, luckily, did have some pain. Our search and rescue and our special operations team did go up and check on this guy's status. He was actually able to walk out on his own.
Good.
And decided that he would self-transport himself to the hospital to get looked at. But we've had some where we're literally, like, taking people out of trees.
Oh, man.
I mean, really in bad shape, like mangled and tangled in a pine tree up high. And so luckily this wasn't one of those, but frequent accidents.
It takes a lot of work to learn how to fly one of those canopies. You can't just go up there and launch off without any prior experience.
You know, it makes you wonder, the people that do it. And they're flying like off a mountain into a field.
Yeah.
No wonder, because like you just said, you don't want to be flying over trees while you're learning to do this.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've seen people down at Farmer's Corner just kind of practicing with the wind.
And
They're on the ground.
Yeah.
But they're just getting the hang of how to fly the canopy.
Yeah.
And which dynamics are going to work and not work when you're flying. That's that ground education is necessary. But who knows how much the...
It does look cool. I mean, what freedom.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
What freedom just kind of gliding up in the air.
Looks very,
I mean,
very fun.
I'd be all in, but I think I would opt for not flying over trees the first couple of
times. I think it was a couple summers ago when I saw there had to be about 20 paragliders all at once that came off of Swan Mountain, and they're all in the sky at the same time. I'm out on a pontoon on Lake Dillon.
They're flying over the lake?
Yeah, they're flying over. They're going to land in Farmer's Corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're all in the air at the same time.
That's
I've never
really
seen
cool
so
stuff.
Many of them.
That is cool
that,
stuff.
Yeah, that's quite the adventure from what I hear. But
as long as a storm doesn't roll in, the ones we talk about over the lake. And then, oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to be really, really weather savvy if you're going to be doing any of that stuff. Well, let's talk about a water assist. Lake Dillon, a woman called for help when her mother and daughter were out paddleboarding on the Dillon Reservoir.
Yeah,
got
like
stranded on a beach.
Yeah, they did get stranded. You know, we've talked about these ones when these storms come up.
Yeah.
Again, people inexperienced on paddle boards. that when these, maybe a storm won't roll through, but you know, like you talked about being on a pontoon boat, mm-hmm. sometimes the winds pick up and you can literally get blown across the lake. A, if you're not skilled enough to combat that, or if you just don't have the strength. This woman had a young daughter with her, and they did get blown and stranded on a beach. And luckily, we have the deputies out there, the rangers, that patrol the lake and are able to pick up on these 911 calls. And these stranded, sometimes boaters, these are paddleboarders, pick them up and bring them back to safety. So in this case, all was good. You know, they went with the wind and got stranded, which is what we encourage so that we don't end up with people in the water and now they're exhausted.
Right.
And now they're in freezing cold water and drowning.
So if that does happen to somebody and you don't have a phone on you to dial 911 if you get stranded on a beach, what's the recommended course of action?
It's like Gilligan's Island. You start
waving.
Hey, there's a reference some people won't even know, right?
But don't send smoke signals.
Don't light fires.
Right, exactly.
Because then you'll get rescued with a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't light fires, but I mean, do something. Take off something. Wave your PFD because we know you're wearing a personal flotation device.
Uh-huh.
Take it off and wave it. Find something. Our deputies that are out there, our rangers, are pretty skilled at looking for people in distress. They're always scanning with binoculars. They're not just out there recreating in the sheriff's patrol boat. You know, they're actually really skilled at picking up on these cues when people are in trouble. So, yeah, if you don't have a phone, don't worry about it. We'll find you.
The Summit County Sheriff's Office is on top of it. Boating accident, this is something that happens, I think, both at the Dillon Marina and the Frisco Marina on an annual basis. A boater came into the Frisco Marina a little too hot and collided with a parked boat that resulted in some minor damage. And was there a ticket involved with
this? Yeah, there was. There was actually an arrest involved in this.
Oh, really?
So as it turned out, this guy was drunk while boating.
Uh-oh.
BUI, boating under the influence.
Right.
You know, as we've talked about with drugs and alcohol, nothing ever ends well. Well, this person got in an accident, obviously didn't think that they were that intoxicated, went back and got their truck and trailer, backed it back, you know, down the ramp to pick up their boat. And by then, deputies had arrived on scene and greeted these folks. What is crazy about this one is when they arrested him, he obviously failed all sobriety tests, but his blood alcohol content was three times the legal limit. Three times.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's pretty hammered.
That's pretty well impaired.
That's pretty, you know, that explains the accident. But again, talk about, you know, losing any inability to tell how wasted you are get your car, truck, and trailer and back it up and pick up your boat and then get arrested for this. Something tells me that this person must stay at that intoxication level often, because to be able to go get their truck and trailer and back it down the ramp at that level of intoxication.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty amazing, but wow, can you imagine if he had gotten then on the road with a boat on the trailer?
Oh, boy.
Three times the legal limit. So he was taken off the road, boat impounded, car impounded, trailer impounded. He was impounded at the Summit County Justice Center.
That's where we are recording this podcast, the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, along with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. An illegal campfire was reported to deputies, a large campfire behind condos in the Keystone area.
Yeah, you know, we have these, you know, at employee housing, we have these in Keystone. It seems like Keystone's a big draw for people going behind these buildings that are up against the forest.
Forest, yeah.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Up on a hill, and they think like, either they think like no one's going to see them. Now, a fire on a hill, someone's going to see.
Yeah.
Or they think like, oh, well, deputies would never hike up here. And
they do.
Our deputies will hike up there.
Oh, yeah.
As we had mentioned before earlier, that we are in stage one fire restrictions. We are in a community where we are always mindful of wildfire. And during stage one restrictions, we have a zero tolerance policy for fire. And so these folks, these eight campers with their large fire Someone in that crowd was issued a summons, and we had to actually call the fire department to come put it out because the fire was so big.
Well, there is an incident on Buffalo Mountain. It's a very popular hiking mountain in Summit County. It's that big, round mountain that you first see when you're coming out of the Eisenhower-Johnson tunnels and straight ahead of you coming down the highway on I-70. And there was a hiker that was suffering from some health issues while hiking Buffalo Mountain. Search and rescue had to be called on this one.
Yeah, this guy was suffering from high-altitude pulmonary edema, which is HAPE is the acronym for it. It's common, as you know. Well, it is common. I would say it's common up here.
Yeah.
Especially from lowlanders coming up here and hiking up. Buffalo Mountain, as you described, is one of our more popular, what people think is a really easy hike. Has a couple of false summits.
Uh-huh.
Has some big boulder scrambling you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's really dangerous about HAPE is that, you know, your lungs begin to fill with fluid, and it can be fatal because you end up suffocating in your own fluid in your lungs. Our search and rescue team went up there along with our special operations deputies, our team up there. They found him in really bad condition to the point where they had to get a helicopter up there to get him off the mountain and get him down to Denver as soon as possible.
How high up was he?
He was almost up the top.
Oh, wow. Above tree line.
Was high.
Okay.
And luckily, you know, he stopped when he started, you know, feeling like he was suffocating.
Yeah.
But these become, as we've talked about before, these are heavy resourced, dedicated missions where they take a lot of time, a lot of skilled. Our team, the Sheriff's Office, as well as our Summit County Rescue Group, really skilled, well, volunteers on the rescue group side. Obviously, my staff's paid. Mm-hmm. But these are really serious things, especially when you're trying to land helicopters on the side of a mountain with lots of other hikers around. So you're trying to control a landing zone. You're trying to not let somebody die. Luckily, we have wilderness paramedics. The Summit County Rescue Group has wilderness paramedics that will go into the field and are able to at least stabilize people until we can get a helicopter. So, you know, hats off always to the Summit County Rescue Group.
Do we know the status of this hiker?
We don't, and unfortunately, like a lot of things in this line of work, mm-hmm. you know, public service, law enforcement, there are a bunch of endings that you never find out what the ending is, you know? You rarely do, unless oftentimes, you know, we'll get an email months later or weeks later from someone saying, hey, thank you, you saved my life, you rescued me, you know? So unless we hear from this person, you know, with all these HIPAA laws at hospitals,
right,
we can't get follow-ups from the hospital.
Yeah.
So unless someone reaches out to us, we unfortunately don't hear that often.
Well, we can only hope for the best
outcomes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Burglary reported. A couple set up camp in a dispersed area outside Frisco, decided to head out for a hike. And on their return, they found a man inside their tent. And another unknown man at their camp actively rummaging through their belongings and putting stuff in their pockets.
Can you imagine?
I do not want to imagine. That's one of like those nightmare scenarios when you're camping and you come back and there's people stealing your stuff.
Isn't that something? I mean, I grew up camping and my kids, they grew up with my wife and I taking them camping, and I've never had someone come back to my camp and either be rummaged through or people are actively rummaging through it. This is really unfortunate. What's interesting about this is when the couple came back and found these two at their camp, you know, the male victim immediately tried to stop these two guys. Not that I'm encouraging that, but we're in the middle of the forest here and he feels like his stuff's getting, you know, taken.
Yeah.
So he acted. Actually brought one of these suspects to the ground and had a fight with him, was able to get the guy to unload his pockets. The second suspect in this took off running, so he was in the wind. He could only catch one,
yeah.
Not Superman.
Right.
But he was able to get him to unload his pockets of what he had. There was obviously, and then once he got him to unload, the guy then also took off running. These folks, in the fight, the male victim, did sustain some injuries, met deputies down at the hospital. And while the deputies are in the ER room with the victim, the male victim and the female in this, the hospital alerted them that the suspect was being treated a couple doors down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That someone had just walked in saying that they had tripped and fallen in the forest.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it fit the description of what the deputies were interviewing the victim of. And so, you know, this, you can't make this stuff up, right? So a couple beds down behind the curtain, there's the suspect that the guy fought with. So the deputies were able to take him into custody. We found out that the guy obviously wouldn't tell on his co-conspirator.
Sure.
But we were able to find out where the suspect was camping, that was also camping up there.
Uh-huh.
And our special operations deputies, again, these backcountry deputies with some GPS coordinates, were able to find this camp and actually recover more of the stolen goods.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not another suspect. He obviously went and unloaded and then took off running again. But, you know, this guy got arrested. He got cleaned up in the hospital room. Deputies took him to jail. Our detectives tried to interview him to see who the second suspect was and couldn't get it out of him. So that's still outstanding. But we were able to recover some of the stuff, and we were able to take a person into custody only because they went to the hospital to seek medical attention.
So just a word to the wise: when you're out camping and you decide to go for a hike, make sure to set the deadbolt on your tent door. Oh. Okay. I guess we can't go that far in security, can we? No.
That might collapse the tent, the deadbolt. Might.
Yeah. Well, there's a disturbance on the Dillon Reservoir area. Two campers got into an argument when one of them nearly hit a cyclist while backing her vehicle out of her campsite.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you've seen, Tom, when you're riding your bike at the Frisco Peninsula and you're going through those campgrounds, because a lot of the trails end and start through the campgrounds.
Right.
They're loaded with bikers,
yeah.
Bicyclists. I guess you should call them not bikers. They're not motorcycle bikers. They're bicyclists. And, you know, when people aren't, they're not only a lot of bicyclists, but a lot of vehicle traffic going in, out, parking, moving campers. So this is one of those things where someone wasn't looking when they backed up, knocked a bicyclist off their bike. By the time we got there, by the time we were called and got there, these folks had made up, and the cyclist that got knocked off decided they didn't want any action taken by the driver. They just wanted the driver warned to be a little more careful. So luckily the bicyclist wasn't hurt bad.
Yeah.
These things happen again more often than you think when you have bicyclists and vehicles in very crowded parking lots, because these campgrounds, right, where the cars are. Crowded parking lots.
Yeah, well, especially on a weekend, too.
You get
a lot of people riding their bikes on the Frisco Peninsula trails, which keep getting improved.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, they keep on doing more work and making more trails. It's really a fun network of trails. With all those trails and bikers come with a lot of campers on the campgrounds around, and there is a possibility of interaction with those vehicles.
And so throw some dogs in there, of course.
Oh, of course. Yes.
There are dogs everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So it's summertime in the high country. A lot of people up here recreating. Just got to keep your head on a swivel. Watch where you're going and to watch where other people are going as well, too.
Come on in. The water's warm.
Cold. It's very cold. You can only wade in the Lake Dillon. Swimming is not allowed.
No body contact.
Keep that in mind. So there's another fraud going around. I almost send you another text. I just got it yesterday. It was another text fraud scam threatening legal action if I didn't pay overdue fine. And I think it was a parking ticket or a toll ticket or something. But they're just coming so regularly now.
They're coming fast and furious, aren't they? And they're getting longer and more aggressive.
Oh, I know.
Like, pay now. Click on this link now. Or we're coming after you. It's like, wow.
Well, here's a fraud item where a local resident fell victim to a scam where he was told he won a large sum of money and a new car.
Yeah, so here's what's interesting about this one. These scammers instructed him, of course, to buy two $500 Amazon gift cards and give them the gift card number. He, of course, told deputies that he didn't do any of this. He didn't fall for it.
Good.
He said that he did give them his home, mailing address. He did give the scammers his mailing address, but no other personal information.
Okay.
A week later, he received a fake car title. A week later, he calls the deputies back. He received a fake car title and a fake check in the mail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what they usually do is they'll send you a check and ask you to go deposit it.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, my gosh, Tom, I sent you a check for $1,000. I meant it to be $500. Can you send me back $500? And then you send back $500, and that check bounces. So you're out.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's amazing. You got followed up with a fake title and a fake check, though.
Well,
and that's like evidence in hand.
Yeah, no kidding. But again, it's from nowhere land.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but what's interesting was he said to the deputies that he said he tried to load the Amazon gift cards that he bought onto his own personal Amazon account, and that it said that the cards were no good, which means that he did give the numbers to the scammers originally. That's why they sent him the fake check.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, but he still stands by that he didn't do it. But it's like, okay, so the only thing that makes sense is you gave them $1,000. They sent you this fake car thing because they said you bought a new car. They sent you a fake check. You probably sent them more money back because they probably did the switcheroo where they go, oh, my God, we sent you too much money. Go ahead and deposit it, but can you send back the extra? And I'm sure he did that, too.
Just remember, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, if you're not watching yourself win on TV, the lotto, you probably didn't win.
Yeah, if you don't see your numbers drawn personally while you're holding your ticket in your hand, you did not win.
Oh, gosh.
Well, there's a search and rescue issue where deputies received a satellite alert via text indicating that people were stranded and experiencing car trouble. GPS location provided. Deputies responded.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those. This was an interesting one because this is one where a guy and his two young sons were four-wheeling way up in the mountains here on these trails that you and I know go way up, and they're old mining roads, right. And they can be dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are just dead ends going to nowhere roads.
Yeah.
This guy had tried to send out a satellite alert, which sent us to one location, which they didn't find them.
Huh.
And so we became concerned, obviously, because it was a father and two young kids. So one of the young kids with his Apple phone sent out one of those Apple alerts. You know, Apple has a thing on the newer iPhones where you can get a satellite message out with if there's no cell service. So it wasn't the father that figured this out. It was like the little kid. Like, I mean, I'm talking about a little kid who pulled out his phone. And not too far away from where the deputies were, they followed the breadcrumbs and found that this father had he had high-centered his vehicle on a snowdrift that was still up there.
Oh, wow.
And there was no getting out.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, we went up there in our UTV that has a winch on it, and if you miss the UTV, our utility vehicle that has a winch on it, we were able to winch them off the snowdrift.
Excellent.
But this is one of these ones where they were up pretty high. They weren't dressed for, you know, this is one of the things where shorts and t-shirts, we're just going to go for a couple hours.
Sure.
You know, no emergency food, no emergency clothing, no nothing. That they weren't where the original satellite alert told us they were, but the iPhone saved them. And this is not an iPhone commercial.
No, it's I have an iPhone, and every time you get out of cell service, you have the little SOS that shows up. Instead of a cell signal, you see SOS.
Yeah.
So that means that you can call in emergencies and hit a satellite and send a text out and get a reply or get rescued.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that it's the little kid that said, wait, here, I know what to do.
Kids and technology,
and,
man.
Hey, and the father probably argued about getting a kid a phone in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
And now the phone saved their life. Yeah. It's one of those stories. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think he got a free upgrade phone now. He got the latest version after that little incident.
We'll send the story to Apple.
Yeah. Another search and rescue item. A concerned husband requested a welfare check on his wife who was hiking from Texas to Canada. That's a long hike.
Yeah.
And she had not been heard from in 8 days. Last known location, Summit County.
So interesting about this woman is that later we learned that she has hiked literally all over the world, and she is a distance hiker, and she was hiking the trail, and that she was checking in with her husband by satellite every night, and she hadn't checked in, and he was concerned about her. We couldn't find her. We looked at all the last known locations here in Summit County where she could have been, and couldn't find her. And it was our team that through social media found that she had been posting. And it turned out that her actual last location was in an adjoining county, in Grand County, north of us.
Oh, wow.
That
okay.
She had left Summit County, but she was fine. And for whatever reason, the messages that she was sending to her husband weren't going through. But they were getting through to social media. So pretty crazy. But, I mean, there's people. And this woman is, you know, this woman is an older woman who does these solo long-distance. It's her thing, which I thought, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
I think her husband might want to friend her on the social media so he can follow what she's doing.
So you had the same thought I did. Like, so wait a minute. So like he didn't check social media. We had to check social media. Oh my God.
Wow.
You know.
But she was found. All is well, and the hike continues on her way to Canada.
On her way to Canada. Isn't that crazy?
Domestic violence incident: an argument between an intoxicated couple. The girlfriend called the boyfriend's brother to come pick him up due to a drunken, belligerent behavior.
Yeah, she didn't report her drunken, belligerent behavior, but she reported
the other guy. It's always the other guy.
Yeah, this is one, as you know, we've talked about many times before, where we're walking home from wherever we're getting intoxicated, and we get into a fight. You know, where he got into trouble with her is, yes, she called her brother first, but then after he struck her and took her phone away several times when she was trying to call help, which is against the law here in Colorado.
Yeah.
Deputy showed up and he went to jail for domestic violence.
There's a harassment issue. A man reported that he was being harassed by his ex-girlfriend, who had been consistently texting and emailing him from her phone, various unknown numbers, and multiple email addresses. Wow, did she have a beef to pick with the ex-boyfriend?
You know, it's sometimes, you know, you hear these things and you think like, you hear these and you think about like, you know, high school girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, I like you and I'm going to, you know, but some of these become like serious stalking issues, you know, and this one was one of these ones where this was like a serious stalking, turned out to be like a serious stalking case. It also turned out that it was such a serious case that there was a protection order in place prohibiting him from doing this because of a previous stalking case. And it just shows you that these stalkers keep stalking sometimes. Protection order played out. We arrested her based on these new charges as well as violation of the protection order. But, you know, it's a good reminder that protection orders are great, but they're a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily stop somebody.
It's not going to physically restrain anybody.
It's not going to physically restrain. Because some people immediately scream, I have a restraining order. It's like, okay, but it's not a physical thing. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, it does play out in the courts, you know, that they violated it. But it's not going to stop somebody.
So did she go to jail?
She did. She went to jail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully, I what do you do? I mean, she's a serial stalker.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
witness protection, maybe, for him.
Yeah.
Or her.
Both. There we go. I'm always, every time I hear a stalker story, I always think of that Clint Eastwood movie, Play Misty for Me.
Oh, yeah. Play Misty for Me.
Where he was a radio guy and he had a listener stalking him. And I am grateful every day that I have never had such a situation. Well, but I'm not a good looking guy like Clint Eastwood. So no problem there.
Hey, but you can be anyone who you want to be over the radio. Look, you're a radio guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you may have invited a stalker.
Yeah. I'm not a stalker, but I play one on the radio. Let's talk about this domestic violence issue where a couple got into an argument over finances, and that escalated into a physical altercation when the woman punched the man in the face.
Yeah, this one was interesting. You know, it was an argument over a couple that lived together over finances. He tried to get away from her by going outside, out on the deck, and put his, you know, his AirPods in, listening to some music, and, you know, like anyone with headphones on, she continued to yell at him,
uh-huh.
And he truly didn't hear her because he was trying to.
He was blissfully ignorant.
He was blissfully probably listening to Crystal 93 on his AirPods.
Yes.
And she thought he was ignoring her. And so she decided she was just going to punch him right in the face to get his attention. I mean, again, you can't make this stuff up.
I'm guessing she got his attention pretty well.
She got his attention, and she got the deputy's attention, too. I mean, yeah. This is one of these things where she said, but I thought he was ignoring me. And I guess that's how most people get people's attention. Like, if I think you're ignoring me, I punch you in the face.
Yeah, if somebody's ignoring you, there's probably a reason why, and there are more subtle ways to get their attention.
Oh, I bet you they have more financial matters now. She's been arrested.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Yep. There's definitely more issues ahead for that couple.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's a deputy that observed a driver sitting at a green light, causing another vehicle behind them to honk their horn. The driver then sped off at a high rate of speed, didn't realize the light had turned green and was just kind of sitting there, obviously a little distracted.
Oh, my gosh. So the deputies get there, and they're looking around for this car. They eventually find the car parked, you know, at a building. They're walking around the apartment. The car's unoccupied, of course, now. You know, it looks like the crime scene where the doors are open and someone's fled, and you know what I mean? So they're looking around. They're looking around for the person who's driving this car. And when you're intoxicated, again, I think you think you're invisible. Like, no one will see me. And this guy's stumbling around the parking lot. And the cops, you know, are able to determine that this is the guy that owns the car that was driving the car. And he was heavily intoxicated and failed all sobriety tests and spent the night in jail. I mean, You'd think if you got somewhere, got out of the car, and ran from your car, you'd keep running. You wouldn't just, like, stumble around the parking lot going, nobody can see me.
Unless you're intoxicated and under the influence of some alcohol or drugs.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Wild life. We get wildlife calls in the high country. There's a falcon that was found trapped in the netting near the county landfill, and there was a response by several agencies to get this falcon unstuck.
Yeah, we posted this one on social media. It was pretty cool. I saw all the photos associated with this incident.
I did too.
Yeah, wasn't it cool with the falcon kind of stuck in the net? And, you know, I've seen this before where you see wildlife rescued by first responders or anybody where it almost seems like they know they're being rescued and they kind of calm down and let you untangle them. And this is a wild falcon, and we were able to take it into custody safely. Protective custody.
Yes.
Not handcuffs.
Talon cuffs.
look at us.
Okay. Bad jokes. Okay. That's
but, you know, we were able to then get it into like a dog crate. Our animal control people took it and took it to the shelter, and we're able to make contact with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and we're instructed on how to care for this animal till they could come and get it. And what's neat about this is they, once Colorado Parks and Wildlife get it and determine there's nothing wrong with it, or if there is, and help heal it, they release it near wherever it was caught because, you know, they figure that's its territory. So I thought that was kind of cool. So it'll eventually get released right back here in Summit County, hopefully not caught in the net again. The net's there to catch trash, not birds.
All right.
It's kind of like a fishing net.
It does inadvertently catch other things.
Yes, and this time it did. But yeah, our local fire district went up there to help the deputies with their big ladders and rescued a bird. It's kind of cool.
And we have a happy falcon in Summit County as a result.
And we have a to go hunt more critters when it's well.
Search and rescue again. Three hikers became stranded on the McCullough Gulch trails due to heavy rain and hail. They were cold, they were panicked, and they were unprepared for the severe weather conditions.
Yeah, they were. This is one, fortunately, where nobody was injured. When these storms come through here, or even when the storms don't come through, we've talked about the perils of the backcountry and people coming to Summit County. We have these great hikes up these great trails that are just beautiful. But if you're not dressed for the weather, I mean, our Summit County Rescue Group always puts it out there about the 10 essential things to take on any hike. You know, always go prepared. Things change up here so quickly. These people got caught in a, and we've all been caught in hail and rainstorms here before.
Oh yeah,
especially like riding our mountain bikes.
Yep, they can sneak up.
They can sneak up on you, and you can get pretty drenched under one of these storm cells.
Yeah.
Our rescue group, along with our deputies, were able to locate these people, walk them out, provide them with warm clothing. All's well that ends well.
Very nice.
But another busy rescue.
And just another word to the wise. If you're going out hiking, make sure you're prepared for all the elements because, I mean, it's going to be really nice on the valley floor when you hit the trailhead and you got the shorts and the short sleeve shirt on, but then you get up to about 11,000, 12,000 feet and it's a bit cooler up at that higher elevation.
Could still be winter.
It could be. A lot of times it is.
You could start your hike in the summer and be there in the winter.
Another illegal campfire report. Deputies responded to a dispersed campsite after receiving a report the occupants were having a campfire. Illegally, the county's under stage one fire restrictions.
Yeah, we know how this ended. I mean, This is just another illegal fire during a stage one restriction. Someone did take responsibility for it, took the ticket. But again, you know, the thing that's tragic here or anywhere that experiences wildfires across the country is that these things can just go bad quickly and have just drastic consequences for our community.
So, well, we're just seeing some devastating effects on the western slope around the Black Canyon.
Oh,
I mean, I used to live in Montrose, and that was one of my regular
go-tos,
absolutely. Wow. The Black Canyon. Now it's gone. I mean, you can't go. The campgrounds are shut down. For the rest of summer,
I heard.
Yeah, there's been structural damages, and just it's not a pretty picture at all on the western slope. And that's just one of many wildfires.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing happened at the Grand Canyon North Rim, where they said historic,
the lodge
burned down.
Yeah.
They lost, dozens of structures there. So
it's wildfire season. And again, stage one fire restrictions. Yeah. Give a quick rundown what that means.
Yeah, stage one here in Summit County means, I mean, the basics are, I mean, we always encourage people, go to our website, summitsheriffcolorado.gov, to find out the restrictions. But basically it means that for private homes, if you have a campfire, a backyard fire ring in your yard, it's got to be permitted by our fire districts. They'll come, they'll inspect it, they'll permit it, then you can have it. You can't just have open burning. You can't go in the forest and light a fire. You can't go disperse camping and light a fire. The only fires on federal property are in the designated campgrounds, in designated fire rings. So it's basically, if you think about it, no open burning.
It's a serious issue.
Oh, my God. It's a serious issue.
Has anyone considered raising the fines, the amount of fines? Because you said, what, $100 for illegal campfire?
Yeah. The fines need to go up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Who do we talk to about that?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay, thank
you. I'm
on
it.
Appreciate that. Animal control officers received a report about a dog that was found in a grassy area outside Copper Mountain that appeared to be injured. The dog was having some difficulty walking. And there were concerns that the dog may have been hit by a car.
Yeah. So this is, you know, we take all incidents serious, you know, whether they're animal incidents or people incidents, especially Summit County, which is a dog loving community. Luckily on this call, there was a nearby deputy that was really close to when this call came out and was able to locate this dog. It looked as bad as it, you just made it sound.
Yeah.
And as the deputy approached the dog, the owner came running out and said, oh, no, he's just old.
Oh, wow.
He's just old.
Just an old dog.
Just an old dog. He looks like he's injured.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's decrepit and can't walk and wounded and hit by. He looks like all the stuff you just said. And so then we have to, like, slow everybody down and go, there's no dog hit by a car.
Just an old dog.
Tom, we can relate to that, right? An old dog.
Yeah. Learning new tricks, obviously.
Right?
Well, there's been search and rescue items going on. There's been multiple contacts of the Dillon Reservoir. It's summertime in the high country. A lot of people out recreating, camping, and hiking, and biking, and getting out of the paddle boards and the kayaks. It's a busy summer for the deputies with the Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, my God. The deputies are busy. Our backcountry deputies are busy with our search and rescue team. I mean, besides the things that we have talked about, there was numerous other, you know, we had a woman that was lost with her two children north of Silverthorne that required us getting out in the field and locating them and bringing them back. Again, these people, when we talk about these are the reason why they become so serious is young children are involved or elderly people,
yeah,
and they're never dressed for it. They always went, we just started out for a 30-minute walk,
uh-huh,
or hike, or we thought we were, but it was so beautiful. The wildflowers.
We just kept going.
And then we went down a social trail, and then we got off the main trail, and then...
We're lost.
Another one in a real popular area, Peru Creek area, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Some folks became lost in the steep terrain. That's really steep terrain, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Avalanche terrain in there.
Yeah. And when there's no snow, there's just really steep boulders.
Yeah. Scree fields.
Oh, God, the scree fields. Yeah. We needed to get them. We had to get back there on an ATV, not a UTV. All-terrain vehicle.
Now, do we want to talk about the differences here, or is that a whole other show?
We could do a show on just equipment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were so far back there and so, you know, isolated that we had to get back there and get them on that. We had some other ones where, you know, different hikers at different locations with lots of injuries. We had one that suffered a broken ankle, another one with a dislocated knee, and a third with a head injury from a fall. I mean, these are all, they sound like, oh, head injury or knee injury or leg injury, but they're never like close to the trailhead. These are always way back in the backcountry and usually difficult to get to. Usually we can't take UTVs or ATVs. Usually it's you're hiking in or you're getting, if it's something serious, we're getting dropped off by helicopters back there. So backcountry stuff, be careful.
Just be prepared.
Be prepared.
That's the main thing.
Be prepared like you're not coming back. Well, maybe that's a little.
Well,
be prepared
like you have to spend the night in case.
There you go. Yeah, that's better than not coming back. Spending the night.
Much better.
You might have to spend the night.
Yeah. On the Dillon Reservoir, I mean, same thing. Deputies responding to a lot of calls out there, just stranded paddleboarders and kayakers. And we didn't have any boats tipping over recently, have we?
Yeah, we did. We had a couple. We had several boats capsized, sailboats capsized.
Okay.
Actually capsized.
Yeah.
During these storms we talk about that roll in out of nowhere. 1 minute it's a blue sky. The next minute you're in a sailboat that's upside down. We've had some canoe incidents and paddleboarders that were also overwhelmed by the wind that we've rescued. You know, when we talk about, and we had a sailboat, we've had this, God, a couple years ago with a big sailboat, you may remember that blew into the shore and got stuck and we had to try to tow it out.
Oh, right.
We had another sailboat in this last storm that did that, that blew up onto the rocks and we had to tow it out of there. And these become, again, like really critical. Boat rescues, but they become critical. So again, you know, just like we just talked about when you're going hiking, if you're gonna recreate on our beautiful lake, which is beautiful, know that yes, our days all start out blue sky, sunny, you know, blue sky that hurts your eyes, right? It's so blue. And then by lunchtime ish, a little after, it can change and change quickly. So be careful whether you're recreating on the lake or recreating on our trails.
Just be weather aware.
Weather aware.
That's a good thing for the summertime in the high country. Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power. And a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
It always helps.
Yeah.
Hey, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed. And if you're thinking about committing a crime, remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
The Summit County Justice Files, you can also read along on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, thank you, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, for your service.
Hey, thank you, Tom.